It's going to push us into Galatians 5. So you can tear off the saran wrap and open to Galatians 5, you two. We're starting the 16th verse. Paul writes, "Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, and envying one another." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pentecost happens every year, and we cram it chock full of stuff every year. Because, well, it's one of the big days. We do the same thing at Easter, we do the same thing at Christmas. We cram them chock full of things. At Christmas, we sing every song that we can somehow cram into an hour-long service. And we read Luke 2 every year. We light candles and we come to the table. At Easter, we get up early, earlier than normal even, and we do church twice, most of us. And we go to the tomb early on the first day of the week, and we come to the table, and then we go to the table, and then we come back in here, and we go to the table, and we say, "Christ is risen," and you say, and we have special music, and we go kind of crazy, right? And Pentecost is like that, but it looks different. In that Pentecost, we come to the table, we go to the table. We break all of our musicians. Let's not have this become a liturgical tradition, okay? But one of the things that we cram in around this time of year is the kids teach us. And if you listened carefully to a year of prayers read out in, what, 5 minutes? How many of you had dry eyes? Yeah, that's what I thought. The power of Pentecost is that we hear the mighty acts of God in our own language. That's how it's put by Luke in Acts. And particularly today, that's what you're hearing. That's what you heard from Silas, that we pray for Wills because he hurts himself a lot. And that we pray for Syria and Malawi and Tanzania and Zambia and Egypt and Haiti and places around the world. That we pray for each other. And that we grieve. And we hurt. And we are wounded together. And that's really what Pentecost is all about, is that these are things we do. We keep a far better record of the kids' prayers. And they draw much better than the rest of you do. Then we do the rest of our prayers. But these tell us something about us and about how we live faith out. Historically, we celebrate Pentecost as the birthday of the church. It's not really the birthday of the church. There's no cake. And as I heard a wise man once say, if there's a group of people there and there's no cake, it's not a party, it's a meeting. So, that being said, there was no cake. But there was a proclamation of the gospel. Peter stood up and said, "This is the story of Jesus Christ, people. You've heard some of that this morning. You're going to hear some more of it right now." One of the things we make our confirmands do after the examination, which the CIA is not allowed to do what we're allowed to do to confirmands when we examine them. Laurel said it was a very, very difficult examination this morning, is we make them write down what it is that they believe. Think about that for a moment. Now, one of them is a preacher's child, and one of them is not. These are the children you have raised in the faith. These are the children you have raised in the faith. Hear what they're saying to you. I think that God watches everything in the universe carefully and stays by its side all the time. And I have felt that. I believe that there is a Holy Spirit, and that Spirit is joyful, comforting, supporting, and understands all of our emotions. I believe that God saves whoever God wants to save, and it does not matter who you are. I am glad my church believes that God loves all of God's children. I'm glad my church is not afraid to continue to ask questions instead of pretending that we already know everything about God. I believe in a Jesus who wasn't afraid enough to back down from taking on the sins of the world, and that his love for us strengthened him. I believe that the church is called to set God's table and invite God's people to the table to share in sacred communion. I think the church is called to see the face of Christ in everyone that the members of the church meet. I believe that Jesus is God's Son who came to earth and was killed for our salvation. I accept that I do not understand, cannot understand, and will not understand God fully in this lifetime. I believe in a Jesus who loved the little children and the not-so-little children. I'm glad my church does not insist on the children being in a separate part of worship. These are the children you're raising. This is what they've learned from you about God. This is what you're teaching. This is what Pentecost is about, is seeing that transformation. Pentecost Sunday, once upon a time, you got disciples, right? You've got a room. You've got closed doors. Remember how wonderful all those disciples were? They got all A's on their Bible scholarship lessons with Jesus, and they nailed every opportunity they had to be faithful, right? They got it right every time. Okay, so in a room just like this, with people just like this, the Spirit shows up. And Peter grows a backbone. And he tells the story of God to a crowd who is convinced that these people are just drunk. Today, the Spirit of God has descended, and you have heard people tell you what God is about. That is the gift of Pentecost, is that we cut through some of the garbage and we hear what God is doing in the world in ways we cannot deny and in ways that we don't want to deny. We are not done yet. I will get you to cry again later. Because we're not done yet. But what I want you to listen for, not just today, but every day, I want you to listen to the prayers of the kids. I want you to listen to the prayers of your neighbor, to the words of the songs, to how we talk about God. Because this is what we're showing to the world about what it means to be Christians. So when we pick a hymn you know really well, and it's, they'll know we are Christians by our love, that's not just song words that fit the syllables. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen. We're not